White House economists weigh in on socialism. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, Apple CEO Tim Cook is calling for a tough national digital privacy law in the U.S. He spoke in Brussels this morning. He's at a conference on Europe's new privacy law, which says consumers own their data and can ask for it to be erased. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
It's easy to call for tough laws if they wouldn't affect you that much. That's the case for Apple, although it does sell products like the Apple Watch, which tracks your health. Jonathan Zittrain teaches law and computer science at Harvard.
Apple's business model doesn't happen to depend centrally on the collection and exploitation of personal information.
So Zittrain says it's easy for Apple's Tim Cook to say the U.S. should follow Europe's lead. Today, Cook said our data is being weaponized and used against us. He didn't name names, but Facebook and Google are in the business of collecting and using our data. Still, Zittrain says it is helpful to have Apple on board the privacy train. He says what Cook is calling for is pretty simple.
There should be a baseline idea that the company shouldn't use your data against you.
Facebook and Google have been lobbying for a national privacy law that would be weaker than some of the state laws it would replace. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Checking markets the day after the big turbulence, the Dow is up 0.1%, 24 points, but the S&P 500 is down 0.1%. The NASDAQ is down 0.2%. A key index of stock market volatility, the VIX, is still running high this morning. These prices are driven by profits and losses, but also by extension how U.S.-listed multinationals are weathering the fallout from the trade war. On Many a Wednesday, we connect with Susan Schmidt in Chicago. She's head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it's really the commentary, often the forecasts of what's ahead, that the market participants are really focusing on in these profit reports.
That's exactly right. We know what's happened in the past, but we have a lot of dynamics that are changing going forward, and managements are focused on that, and that's what investors are listening for commentary on. So tariffs, of course, are the biggest thing out there. That's going to change the input costs, and we are hearing management teams talk about the increased cost of steel, and that squeezes profit margins. That's backing the market off.
Overall, it's finally we're seeing the effects of tariffs starting to hit bottom lines. It's not just talking about tariffs.
Right now, I think the market has finally woken up and thought about what the impact could be on the profit line of these businesses. And now they're starting to take a look at the tariffs that have already been put in place and the potential tariffs that are coming. That rhetoric could very well turn into reality, and that's what the markets are focused on right now.
Always good to talk to Susan Schmidt. She's at Aviva Investors. Susan, thank you.
Thank you.
Sign up for our daily e-newsletter by October 31st, and you could be in for a Halloween treat. We're giving away 10 Marketplace treat bags filled with some great swag, including the coffee mug that I helped design. I thought it was a great line. They listened to me. Subscribe today at marketplace.org for your chance to win, and good luck. You might be interested to read Why Socialism is Worse Than You Thought. That's the thrust of a report released yesterday by no less than President Trump's Council of Economic Advisors. This morning, I tweeted a link to the report entitled The Opportunity Cost of Socialism, if you want to read it. Mark Blythe read it through. He's a political economist at Brown University's Watson Institute.
The first third of it is what happened in Russia, the famine of 1924, and why Venezuela sucks. None of which has to do with anything that I'm aware Bernie Sanders or anyone is saying. It then segues into, oh, what about those Scandinavian countries? Well, they look good, but really, if you use the weirdest economic indicators possible, we can tell you that they're actually hell on earth. And then when you finally admit that this is about healthcare, you're told that you can't have that because it'll cost 8% of GDP, growth will collapse, dragons will appear in the sky, it'll be the end of times, all of which is predicated upon we would still be paying for all the healthcare we've got, and then we would pay for a public system, which no one is actually suggesting. So I would call it pure propaganda.
It is interesting that it is a question that the President's Council of Economic Advisors chose to try to answer at this time. It must suggest that there is an interest in socialism that the administration is trying to tamp down.
Well, I would say that's the case, but I mean, socialism, come on, if the only thing we're talking about here at the end of the day is, should we have a single-payer healthcare system? Every other country in the world that's a rich country, from Japan to Switzerland, lots of them are not socialist, all have this type of healthcare. And we're the only one who doesn't. We spend 18% of GDP on healthcare for worse outcomes than France and the United Kingdom on average. And they spend half to a third of that. So this is socialism? No, this is just calling something socialism because you don't want to deal with it.
But I was particularly interested in the argument about the Scandinavian countries where democratic socialism is embraced and have nationalized health care. The report tries to show that those countries' economies lag the United States because of that system.
Yeah, which is extremely weird, trying to disentangle the effects of a healthcare system on aggregate growth is a very complex statistical exercise. And as far as I was aware, looking at the appendix, they didn't bother to undertake one. Most of this is argument by assertion.
Well, I mean, the President's Council of Economic Advisors, which authored the report, it's part of the presidential administration. Maybe not so strange. They have an ideological point of view. It's not like it's the Congressional Budget Office or the Federal Reserve here.
I know, but really, if you're going to do this, let's do it seriously.
Mark Blythe is a political economist at Brown University's Watson Institute. Dr. Blythe, thank you.
Pleasure.
And before we go, I've always wondered, is our video series in which we answer your burning questions, including my contribution out today, why do they still use humans on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange? Go to YouTube, then look for Marketplace APM. There's also one about how those dollar stores can do it for a dollar. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.